You're now tuned in to Life Song Radio, a weekly podcast dedicated to accurately studying the Word of God in a comprehensive and biblical manner. Listen in as hosts Phil Ramsey, Blake Shankle, and Tom Hammond dig into the Word line by line, verse by verse, leaving no stone unturned. Grab your Bible and your notebook and get prepared to study the living, breathing, active Word of God. Now, here are your hosts of Life Song Radio.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Life Song Radio. My name is Blake Shankle, and along with me is Mr.
Phil Ramsey.
Tom Hammond.
Guys, hello.
Good to see you.
Yeah, it is good to see y'all. Good to be back in the studio today.
It is.
We're going to pick back up in Romans chapter 10 today. We're going to be in verses 18 through 21. But before we do that, guys, y'all have anything to go over this week? Any exciting news? Or
well, I would say our format has changed a little bit. We went from an hour program to a 30-minute program, a little bit more condensed. And that's something new that we'll start today.
Yeah, that's just kind of helpful to help us a little bit as well as the listeners too, to make this a little bit more palatable in a 30-minute episode rather than a whole hour. So, and we could sit here and talk for 2 hours, but as far as the listeners concerned, probably 30 minutes is better Bible study period.
Absolutely.
So that's to help you guys out. And so, you know what? We got 30 minutes, so we need to get going.
We can't be talking smack.
Nope, we're not going to do that. Guys, we find ourselves in Romans chapter 10 again, verse 18. I'm gonna pick that up and read through the end of the chapter, and then we'll come back and look at these verses. Verse 18, "But I say, surely they have never heard, have they? Indeed they have. Their voice has gone out into all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. But I say, surely Israel did not know, did they? First Moses says, I will make you jealous by that which is not a nation. By a nation without understanding will I anger you. And Isaiah is very bold and says, I was found by those who did not seek me. I became manifest to those who did not ask for me. But as for Israel, he says, all the day long I have stretched out my hands to a disobedient and obstinate people." Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful to be able to have your word before us today. We're so thankful to have not only general revelation in creation, but also this special revelation in your word. We just ask that today that we sit before you today, we open your word, and that we hear from you. Lord, by reading your word, help us to be able to exegete this well, to be able to do it justice, Lord. We pray for the Spirit that he works in our lives today, works in the lives of our listeners as well. Use us as mighty men, righteous instruments in your hands. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Well, Tom and I, we were talking a few minutes ago about where we are today, and Israel, basically, they've made up their mind. We've seen some things happening. They were ignorant of the person of God, ignorant of the provision of Christ, ignorant of the place of faith, ignorant of the proportion of salvation. And here's what they can't do today. They can't accept the fact that Gentiles are a part of God's plan.
Right. And Paul, and that's what the entire chapter 10 is about, is Israel's ignorance and why they're not coming to Christ. And he caps off this chapter with just a salvo of Old Testament quotes that explain that the gospel was going to be for the entire world, that God was going to, he had promised Abraham to bless all peoples through his seed. And Israel is he's giving one more reason why they are rejecting the gospel, which is that they believed they were God's chosen people. The Messiah would be sent for them and them only. And they had totally lost sight of all these Old Testament passages that taught them otherwise had they paid attention. So Paul, and what he's really doing is setting up chapter 11. And it's going to be hard for me not to talk about it.
I think
I cannot wait to get to chapter 11.
If you've listened for any, Tom's been here officially on payroll. Well, we don't have a payroll, but he's been officially here for a few weeks. And I think chapter 11, I don't know, we're going to have to chain them down here. I think it's his most favorite chapter in the whole Bible.
Well, chapter 11 is just so is so significant in setting so many doctrines and theologies within the Christian church. Mm-hmm. And how you deal with 11 will determine largely what you teach on a number of subjects, eschatology, soteriology, salvation, all these things. So I just can't wait to get there because, as I've said throughout also, Phil, you have to read 9, 10, and 11 as a group.
Yeah.
And when you start just trying to look at 10 as a standalone and you don't tie it into chapter 11, it's real easy to come up with this thing that's called replacement theology. We've talked about it before, where there's a belief that Israel has been replaced by the church as God's chosen people. And it's true that they have in this age, in this dispensation. We're going to find out in chapter 11 that is not a permanent situation. That's why I can't wait to get there. But what Paul is doing at the end of chapter 10 is saying they've got no excuse for acting like they did not know that this gospel was going to be for all peoples. It was in their Old Testament scripture in numerous places. I've got those here. If we've got time, we'll read a few of them. But that is what he's ending this chapter on to set up 11, is that, and don't come to me, his Jewish brothers, don't come to me and say that you haven't heard this salvation, and don't act surprised that it's going out to all peoples and wasn't just for you. You were told this time and time again.
Yeah, that's why we've titled this No Excuses today, because they don't have an excuse, and that's what Paul's going to go through in these litany of verses. And as we read them, it might be a little bit confusing to you. It was a little bit confusing to me as I read them. I had to read them numerous times to try to figure out, all right, what's Paul saying here? You know, what is he doing? And what Paul's, let's just dive into verse 18. But I say, and this is what Paul's doing here, is he's bringing up this question, right? He's kind of just getting out in front of what he anticipates the Israel or the Jewish people gonna, this questioning, it's this reasoning from what he just said, is what he's made this whole argument in chapter 10. He's anticipating these questions. He says, but I say, right? And he's it's an imaginary objection, if you will. And so
they're kind of rhetorical questions, really.
Basically, because they really have the answer of course or no, or you know, like he's done this numerous times before. He's so good at knowing what the reader or the listener is
anticipating
going to.
The objection.
Exactly. Yeah. And so when he says this, he says basically what he means that is, I know what you are thinking. Okay. And so he goes on to say, surely they have never heard. Now, we have to kind of figure out who is they? And that's kind of where I start breaking this stuff down, is Israel, right? Surely they have never heard, right? Is this Israel, right? He answers that question by bringing up, he says it. He says, indeed they have. So, has Israel never heard? Heard what? Really, the gospel. This gospel, right? Have they never heard this?
Well, it's a quote. If you go, it's actually a quote from Psalms 9, right?
Yes.
And you say they.
Psalm 19.
Yes, I'm sorry. Psalm 19. You say they, and guess what? You're right. Okay, we've already been through Romans. This verse in Psalms 19 goes with the same thought that we have the verse in Romans. I forget which verse is it. Romans 1, they're without excuse.
I can't remember.
17.
So the world's without excuse because of creation. There's nobody that can say that there is no God. And he goes to Psalms 119, and I think he's pulling from that. And if you, I don't think we'll read it, but if you get time, go back and look at verses 1-6, and it talks about. Let me just read a couple of verses.
It's Psalm 19.
Yeah, Psalm 19, verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words whose voice has not heard. And it keeps on going on there through verse 6. But notice as it gets to, first of all, who's it written to, by the way? Israel, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And if you get to verse 7 and go through 11, it's talking about the law of God. So we have natural revelation 1-6, and then we have the law of God that Israel only has that, verses 7-11. So that's where he's pulling it from. Yeah.
And he's making a comparison of how widespread the message has gone out.
That's right.
That's what he's doing here. He is saying this gospel has testified. You know, it started with Peter on the day of Pentecost. Go back to Acts. And so the Jews have heard this, and they've been hearing it for quite a number of years by the time this epistle is written. Mm-hmm. And Paul is saying, no, this gospel message has been being proclaimed close to 30 years by the time this is written. They know the message.
Yeah.
They can't claim they haven't heard it.
So Paul uses 19 as an illustration here, really just an analogy of how the gospel has gone out. Just as general, this general revelation has gone out to all, the gospel has gone out to all the world. And you say, well, has it reached America and has it reached Africa? Well, no, but in a general sense, all the world was really the Roman Empire. And like Tom alluded to, was the day of Pentecost. You if you go back and read Acts 2 or maybe Acts 1, maybe, I think it's Acts 2. If you go back and read that, you'll see all the cities that it reached, these cities. And that was the world at the time, if you will. That was the world. And so, yes, that's what Paul's doing here is with Psalm 19, is saying that just as this gospel truth, the salvation truth has gone out into the world through, well, not the salvation truth through general revelation, because we don't get salvation truth from that. We just get this general revelation that there is a God. Salvation truth comes with the Word of God. And so that's what he's saying is just as that general revelation has gone out, salvation truth has gone out to the world.
In immediate context, and what he was saying, like you said, it had. The known world at the time, it had. But it is available today, 2020, it's available to the whole world. So we have creation, right? And if you respond to the light of creation, the gospel is available to the whole world. You see what I'm trying to say? Mm-hmm. Am I making any sense with that?
Yep.
Does that mean every person on the planet's going to hear special revelation, the gospel of Jesus Christ? No, it doesn't.
Right.
But it means they can.
Yeah.
You see what
yeah.
I'm saying?
Yeah. Unfortunately, they haven't, because we haven't sent, not every tongue, tribe, nation has heard that. There's a lot of unreached people groups that have still not heard the Word of God. And that was why we send missionaries to do these things. But also, there are people who have missionaries in their continents and in their countries that we're still not preaching the Word of God. They're, that's why it's so important that we preach the Word of God and herald it.
I will say this. Not everybody on planet Earth is going to hear the gospel. Y'all agree or disagree?
I would agree.
Yeah. Yes. So this is not saying that every person on the planet will hear the gospel.
No. No, Paul's just making the point.
Of scope.
Yeah.
Paul is just trying to make a comparison of scope. He actually quotes the Septuagint here. He doesn't take a direct quote from Psalm 19. But this kind of is going to get him in some trouble with the Jews, because what he's really getting into now is that his Jewish brothers, the nation of Israel, is rejecting the gospel on the basis of, they said it was never intended for anyone but them, that the Messiah was their Messiah, that they were God's chosen people, that God would save them, and they're rejecting the gospel on the basis of, This isn't for anyone but us. Mm-hmm. So Paul has set it up here in verse 18 with the scope. And then he goes from there into, wait a minute. I won't say, wait a minute, Jews. That sounds like a put down. But he's saying, wait a minute, brothers. Let's think about this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and I would say the problem, they have heard the gospel. That's what he's saying. Look, they've heard it. The problem's not with it's not with the message, and it's not with the messenger, but the problem is with the hearer. Mm-hmm. The problem is with Israel. Look here, Ezekiel, I just kind of stumbled upon this the other day. Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 7. But the house of Israel will not listen to you. Speaking to Israel, God speaking to Ezekiel. They will not listen to me, for all of the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. They've got it. You're preaching to them. They just ain't listening. They're just not.
By choice.
That's the key. And they come up with a whole list of excuses for why.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So Israel is accountable. Paul's saying you're accountable for what you've heard. That's what you are. You're accountable because you have heard this and you're responsible for it. And so look here. Let's move on. Verse 19. And again, he brings it up. But I say, now he brings this other rhetorical question up. Surely Israel did not know, did they? And so this is, what does he mean? Surely they did not know. What does he mean by that? They didn't know what?
I'm thinking now he is specifically talking about, he's saying they did not know this was going to go out to all the world. because that the passage then he quotes from the Old Testament deals with that.
Yeah.
So Israel is saying, no, we don't know anything about this. It's supposed to go out to the entire world. And then Paul makes the quote.
Yeah, so what is, go ahead.
No,
so what Paul does is he draws back to Moses, right?
Right.
And now he's going to refer to Deuteronomy 32, verse 21, and Isaiah 65, verses 1 and 2. And here's what, just like we said, he's going to pull in these verses as evidence that the Gentiles' eagerness to turn to God. There's evidence of these Gentiles turning to God, right? And so what Paul's doing is he's underscoring that they're responsible with what they've understood, and now he quotes Scripture, first with Moses to talk about God's discipline upon his own people because of their refusal of the gospel. And so what he says, and what's implied is, you understood, but you didn't receive the gospel, and therefore I'm going to have to punish you for your unbelief. Look here, if you will, in verse 19. But first Moses says, I will make you jealous by that which is not a nation. That's interesting, right? He says, I'll make you jealous by that which is not a nation. Well, what does he mean by not a nation? Who is that?
That's the Gentile world.
Yeah.
And it crosses all boundaries.
And so what's interesting is that's
everybody that's not a Jew, maybe? Or would you put that in that category?
I would, yes.
Yeah. And so really, the Gentiles were a nation. They were made up of many nations, but that's how the Jews would have referred to them that's how the Jews referred to the Gentiles. They didn't even think of them as if they existed really as a nation. The Jews looked down their nose at other people outside of them, right? And that was not how God was supposed to, that's not how they were to look at people. They were to take the gospel to these people. We've seen that in Jonah, but they didn't do it. But they referred to them as not a nation, really. And so he says, I will make you jealous, Israel. I'm going to make you jealous by that which is not a nation. I'm going to make you jealous by turning to the Gentiles.
And then he follows it up, by a nation without understanding will I anger you. So that was another point of contention with the Jews about the Gentiles, was you don't know God. The law wasn't given to you. You don't have the inside scoop. Mm. You don't know what we know.
Yep.
And that was, so that is just another salt in the wound, so to speak, for the Jews, is that God is going to make them angry with a people who he never gave the law to.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so what we see here is they, as Israel continues in their unbelief, right? He said, Tom just said, by a nation without understanding, will I anger you? As they continue in this unbelief and then they suffer for their own rejection, their own Messiah, which they are doing at this point, rather than humbling them and bringing them to repentance, which it should have done, what do? They just get angry. He that's what he says. By a nation without understanding, will I anger you? You're being jealous, and what this should do is this should stop you in your tracks, Israel, and should say, my goodness, what a God we serve. But what do? They get angrier.
And dig in.
Yeah. Yeah. They get so angry, they crucify the Messiah. They get angry, and they're to the point where they're apostate at this point. And so without God's intervention, right, the hard heart, it becomes harder and harder. It doesn't just get softer. It gets harder. I think that's why, just kind of thinking through hell, right? That's why you have gnashing of teeth in hell. You think people are going to repent in hell? No, they're going to get even harder because they're going to gnash that teeth toward God. They hate him even all the more.
The passage you quoted or that you referenced a while ago, Blake, Deuteronomy 32:21, has this statement in it. God says, I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation.
Hmm.
So, Paul, the way he did it in Romans, says a nation without understanding, when Moses wrote this down from God in Deuteronomy, he said a foolish nation. So it's, you know, it just seems to get worse and worse for the Jew, who thinks that he alone has this divine connection with God that no one else has. You know, God says, I'm going to take the people who know nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and that's how the Jews would have looked at the Gentiles as well, as foolish. They would have referred to them as foolish nations. But what's interesting is you know who the fools are? It's the Jews. That's the interesting point here. But and they, here's the thing. What they're doing is they're seeing Paul, he's preaching to the Gentiles, and the church is being taken over by the Gentiles ultimately because God's turned to them, and he's making them, and what it's doing is it's making them all the more furious. And that's what he's saying. And they, look here, they don't play well in the sandbox with the Gentiles. And Paul's had to, he's had to address this in other epistles as well, you know, with these two coming together as Christians. And but they're angered by God.
You know, when you go back to Jesus' ministry when he was on earth, he angered the Jews just by associating with the Samaritans. So
he sure did.
You know, that was partially a kinsman to the Jews.
Yeah.
And they turned on Jesus for even opening this up to Samaria.
Yep. They can't stand it. And that's what Paul's making is you can't even, it's right in front of your face. You've heard it and you've understood it. It's been here. Look here. That's what he means here. Surely Israel did not know, did they? And he's saying, yeah, they knew. It's been preached about from Moses. And now he does another cross reference here. Phil, you want to get that right here? This cross reference with Isaiah.
Yeah, what verse is that?
Yeah, it's 20 here in Isaiah.
Yeah, he says, let me go to 19, then we'll go to 20. But I ask that Israel not understand from Moses. Say, the Jews looked up to Moses. If they're going to listen to anybody, they're going to listen to what Moses said.
Yep.
Guess what? They did. They chose not to.
That's right.
I will make you jealous of those who are not a nation. With a foolish nation, I will make you angry. Then 20. So we got Moses, we got the law, and then we got Isaiah, the prophet. Then Isaiah is so bold as to say, I have been found by those who did not seek me. I have shown myself to those who did not ask for me.
Hmm.
So here is Israel. You know, they have the word of God. They're God's chosen people, and they know better than anybody. And then you have these Gentiles over here who are not looking for God, who are foolish, and they are the one God reveals himself to.
Yeah. That's the part that they
can't. Why are they seeking? I mean, they're found. How can they find God, by the way?
By God finding them first. that's how that works.
That's how it all works.
That's it. But they're still held responsible for what they know. They're held responsible. They can't. There's no excuses here, Israel. And then he's just quoting Isaiah. And Isaiah, he says he's very bold in this. Look here, Paul just ratchets it up a little bit. He goes to Moses, and now he goes to Isaiah. And he says, Isaiah, very bold in what he says. And what does he say? He says, and remember, he says, it's still speaking. Understand that, present tense. Isaiah's still speaking. Moses, still speaking. He says, I was found. Who's I? God, right? Was found by those, who's those? Gentiles, who did not seek me. You know, God, he says, I was found by those who didn't even seek me. And meaning, that goes to your point. You say, well, God goes to, it's God who opens the eyes of the Gentiles, and now they seek him, right? It's the Spirit doing the work in the heart so that they seek him. But what he's making the point here is the Gentiles, they had no special revelation. They didn't have God in their midst. They didn't have any of these special laws. They were as far away from, they hated you, Israel. He says, they're the ones that found me.
A question comes to my mind as we're talking about these things. God has provoked Israel to anger, jealousy. These are negative things. Is that God-like to provoke anger and jealousy?
It can if it gets his point. Is it God-like? I would say yes. Yes.
God is right.
Yeah.
And doing what he did, yes, it fulfills his plan.
Let's think about something, guys. Mm-hmm. And you're absolutely right. It is very godly. But let's think about something. If replacement theology is true and the church has replaced Israel, what would be the purpose of that anger and jealousy? It would have none. If this was a permanent situation where Israel was never going to be grafted back in, we'll get to that in chapter 11. If this was a permanent situation, what is the moral argument for God provoking Israel to anger and jealousy? Now, eternal wrath, I get,
mm-hmm,
but I don't get provoking them to jealousy if that is a permanent situation that's never going to be, that doesn't have a purpose, that doesn't have an end in mind.
Right. Yeah, makes sense there. Absolutely.
And so, their blindness is a part of his plan. And even the scriptures say that. They should know this. They should know everything, but they choose to be blind. This is a choice, by the way. You were talking about Acts earlier. You know, Peter's preaching, folks getting saved, the church is birthed. Hey, this is what Joel said.
Yeah.
Hey, it's happening. You ought to know that. Moses says this. Abraham says this. You ought to know these things. It's not because they didn't know the truth. They chose to not believe what God said.
And that's interesting because we just come out of the election, right? Out of chapter nine, you come out of that, the sovereignty of God, and then you go into human responsibility. You go into this, and people say, well, how can you reconcile those two? Because if it wasn't for God opening their eyes, they would not be blind, right? So that's on God. Well, that's above our heads. Those are highways above our heads. And Spurgeon even said, well, someone says, how do you reconcile? And Spurgeon always said, look, you don't reconcile friends. Mm-hmm. They're friends. They don't need to be reconciled. You know, that's just God's ways are higher than ours. Hey, explain to me the Holy Spirit or the Trinity. Excuse me. I can somewhat explain it, but I can't go. A lot of it doesn't make sense, right? God's ways are higher than ours. But yet what God's saying is, what Paul's saying here is that, Israel, you were fully responsible for what you knew, but yet I am sovereign over you, but yet you're still fully responsible here. And you heard it, you understood it, but yet you continue to disregard what I've told you. And you continue to act ignorant to what I've told you.
And go back to chapter 2 in Romans. It was offered to the Jews first. The gospel was offered to the Jews first.
It's been offered to the Jews for thousands of years. It's not like something that's been hidden. If you go back to that's what the Old Testament's all. The Old Testament is all Jewish, right? It's been given. He was in their midst, but they continued to just thumb their nose at
God. An obstinate people.
Yeah, they wanted to be self-righteous, right? They wanted to climb the ladder themselves. But so look here. He says here, Isaiah, I became manifest to those who did not ask for me. And what God's saying here is that I had to make myself known to the Gentiles, for they would have never found me. But you, Israel, I've been with you all along. That's what he's saying to the Jewish people. I've been with you all along, and I wasn't even with the Gentiles. All you had to do was open your eyes and ears, right? It's the Gentiles who didn't even know me. They didn't even know anything about me. I had to manifest myself to them. How much more responsible could you possibly be? You heard it, you understood it, but you didn't respond to it. So don't put the blame on me. Don't put the blame on God. It's your responsibility.
And don't be surprised this is going out beyond you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which I think is really one.
It is the thrust here. He's saying, look, don't be surprised that the Gentiles are involved in this. And it's interesting why they're involved in it. But it wasn't like the Gentiles weren't to be saved from the beginning. It was never that we're going to hoard the gospel. They were charged with taking it to the nations.
And the Jewish people are still looking for their Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
They still don't grasp this idea that the gospel is for all peoples.
Right.
Let me read this paragraph right here. This kind of gives you a little insight of what was going on. When I can't say this guy's name. You ready? Y'all know it when I say it. Galileo. Is that right?
That's pretty good.
Is that right?
Yeah, praise the Lord. Good job.
Thank you.
Wow. We can end the show today right now. We're done.
Let me read this, and we'll read last verse, and we'll close. When Galileo was summoned before the Roman Catholic Inquisition for teaching that the earth revolved around the sun rather than the sun around the earth, he was charged with heresy. When he offered to demonstrate the truth of his findings by having them look through the telescope, they refused. Their minds were already made up, and they refused even to consider evidence to the contrary. With that same obstinance of Israel from the New Testament, times to present have refused to even consider the claims of the gospel. Consequently, they have failed to know Jesus, God, Jesus Christ, and saving faith. What they're doing is not because of intellect. They know. They have the information. The scriptures say it. Moses say it. Isaiah says it. It's in the scripture. They willfully choose to reject Christ. In context today, they should known about salvation is available to everyone by faith. All nations can now come to Christ. They know that. They've heard it. They've studied it since they were children. But they choose to, what's that saying? Don't bother me with the facts. Mm. Anyway, we got another minute. Let's read the last verse and close out.
Yeah, so right here. But as for Israel, he says, all the day long I've stretched out my hands to a disobedient and obstinate people. I think it's interesting. He's gone from Moses, he's gone to Isaiah, and now he says to God.
Yeah.
This, now, God has spoken through Isaiah, he's spoken through Moses, but now he says God. He says, but as for Israel, God says, all the day long I have stretched out my hands to a disobedient and obstinate people.
And to go back to what you said a while ago from the very beginning, all the day long, that doesn't mean a day.
Right.
That's a euphemism for since the beginning.
Yeah. It's figurative language. Century after century after century, he has stretched out him. He's long suffering to you, Jews.
Right.
And you've constantly stiff-armed him. And so he's been calling out, he's been extending his arms to the Jewish people, not only in salvation, but also telling them that the Gentiles are part of this plan. You need to go share the gospel with them. They didn't do it. Now I'm going to turn to the Jews, or I'm going to turn to the Gentiles. And guess what? It's so in, this is how great God is. And we're going to get into it next week. But I ain't forgot you. But I haven't forgot you, Jews. And that's what's crazy. You have cussed me. You have gone to idols, in which is should have been put to death. And what I've done, and it looks like I have nothing to do with you because I've turned against you. I've turned on the surface. I've turned to the other people. Oh, God, you've left us. And that's the whole argument. What about us Jews? It just shows their selfishness, right? But it also shows their theology. They know what God promised Abraham from the beginning. And what Paul's going to do in chapter 11 here, coming up next week, we're going to get into that finally, is he's going to, he's going to say, this is how it works. It's, I'm using the Gentiles to bring about your jealousy in order that you will come to me.
So Tom, let me ask you a question as we close. I'm asking, then, has God rejected his people?
May it never be.
So you want to tune in next week as we jump in to chapter 11. It's big time.
Yeah.
God's got a plan for Israel, the non-believing Jew. He's got a plan, and he's going to graft them back in. It's all part of God's sovereign plan. Anyway, great show. Yep. Any closing comments?
That's it, man. Hey, join us next week on another episode of Life Song Radio.
You've been listening to Life Song Radio. You can follow us on Facebook and YouTube. And if you want to continue to study throughout the week, check out the resources available on our website at lifesongradio.com. See you next week for another episode of Life Song Radio.